11. I'll read one verse of Scripture from the book of Hebrews, and we'll take our thought from there and try to bring you the message the Lord's laid on our heart for tonight. All right? Hebrews 11, when you find that, stand with me. We'll read one short verse of Scripture found in verse number 20. Hebrews 11 and verse 20, the Bible says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you now for the privilege we've had to be here tonight. We thank you for the good singing. I thank you, Lord, for the good fellowship we've enjoyed and for your presence. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray now that you'll help us tonight. Lord, that you'll move our heart for God. I ask you, Lord, to draw nigh to us as we make our feeble effort to draw nigh to God. Bless every soul, meet every need, save every sinner that's lost, give grace to every heart, and may Jesus tonight be honored here in the service. Help me to say something, Lord, that will help some troubled soul and be a blessing to them. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to take the verse of Scripture that the Lord's given me tonight and try to preach for a little while. And I assure you, I will not preach long tonight, but I do want to try to preach for a little while on faith's blessing. It was by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, as we move through Hebrews chapter number 11, there's at least three or four more characters there that I want to try to look at before we conclude our studies in chapter number 11. I want to look at Jacob yet and Joseph, and I want to look at Moses, and then I want to look at the Red Sea crossing, Rahab, and the crossing of the Red Sea. And all these done by faith. I want to use these to do my best to help you in your Christian life of living by faith. But tonight we want to look in the Bible at a man by the name of Isaac. If you've read your Bible in Genesis, you'll know that Isaac was one of the four patriarchs. There was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph. And Isaac was the son of Abraham. He was one of the four patriarchs. Isaac lived longer than any of the other three. If my mind serves me correctly, he lived to be 180 years in age, and he lived longer than his father lived. He lived longer than any of the other patriarchs lived in the Bible. But there's less recorded in the Word of God about Isaac than there are any of the others. If you'll read Genesis, I believe Genesis 25, 26, and 27, you'll find there the entire account about Isaac, except his being offered upon the altar by his father Abraham in chapter number 22. And so there was less said about him than there were any of the other patriarchs in the Bible. His life on the whole, and I want to say this, I hope it don't disappoint you, but if you will read the entire account of the life of Isaac, you will find that his life was a very disappointing life. That's right. Although he was in the Messianic line, and although he is in Hebrews chapter number 11, there's many things that we'll find in the Bible tonight from chapter 27 that was very disappointing in the life of Isaac. We find here another man whose faith was not perfect. And many things that he did in life were very disappointing to God. But in his life, we do see God's divine faithfulness working effectually through man's failures and frailties to bring to pass his great plan that he has. Now, I would say that most people would remember Isaac from being the well digger. Isaac the well digger in, I believe, chapter number 26, when he dug the wells of his father Abraham. one of his greatest achievements in the Bible was to dig the well of Beersheba. But you know, before Isaac dug that well, he tried to live on his father's labors. Now, I want to say a couple of things about that. If you'll read in the Genesis account, you'll find there where Isaac, after Abraham's death, went back and tried to redig the wells of Abraham. Now, church, that reveals a shortcoming in that man's life. That is to say that he tried to live on his father's labors. He went right back to the same old wells that Abraham digged. The Philistines had covered them up, and it was there that he tried to redig the wells of Abraham. I want to say to you tonight, you're not going to please God on somebody else's labor. That's right, and you're not going to drink your water out of somebody else's well. Brother, you're going to have to learn that the life that we're living is a life of faith. And whether you be a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, or whether you just be somebody that sits on the pew, you're going to have your own life to live for God. And you're not going to find joy and happiness and contentment drinking from the same well that Brother Hall drinks water from. Brother, you're going to have to be a well digger and dig your own well. I want to say, secondly, that thing really showed a lack of fortitude in the life of Isaac. In fact, Isaac would have been a better follower than he was a leader. I'm telling you, God is looking for leaders. I've never seen so many people today standing in the pulpit of churches that lack the quality of being a biblical, spiritual leader to the people down at the house of God. That's right. We are to lead the sheep of God's pasture. Number one, they're not to be driven, they're to be led. But there's not, that's right, and there's not many that have the fortitude and have the wisdom to lead a church. I tell you, I would to God that God would endow me with a greater wisdom than what little I've got and enable me with greater abilities to lead the house of God and to feed the flock of God over which He's made me an overseer. But I'm telling you, God's looking for leaders, and Isaac here, we find that Isaac was not really much of a leader, but Isaac was a follower. And that's all right to follow good men, but I tell you, God is, you would think that a man of his character found in the Heroes Hall of Faith would have been a man that had greater leadership abilities. But he found himself trying to follow the footsteps of Abraham, dig the same wells that Abraham dug, and rather than being a man that had enough fortitude to go out and labor on his own, dig his own, that's right, he was the kind of man that would try to build on another man's labors. That's right, church. I tell you, old Paul said, I'm not going to build on another man's labors. That's right, I'm going to build on my own labors. Now, Isaac would have been that type of a man that he would have to have somebody to start something before he could fall in behind them and follow them and work the work that they had already worked, you see. Now, that's right. But then we have his act of faith in blessing Jacob and Esau. And the Bible said that that act of faith was done when Isaac was a dying. When he was a dying. Now, I want you to stay with me in chapter number 27. I want to point out a few things to you there in chapter number 27. I said a minute ago that his life was a disappointing one, and it was, but yet, in the end of his life, when it come time for Isaac to die, he still had enough faith and integrity to bless his children concerning things to come. We're going to look at that blessing in just a minute. But I want to look at a few things about his life that was very disappointing. I want to say, number one, when he come to die, his discernment was very dull. Isn't that, church, it would be terrible for a man to live to be an old man and never grow in enough grace and knowledge of God to have any more spiritual discernment about him than what Isaac showed in chapter number 27 of the book of Genesis. You say, Brother Hall, what on earth do you mean? If you are there in your Bible, you'll know that it come to pass in his old age that his eyes were dim and he could not see. And he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, I am here. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. It says again in verse number 7, he asked Esau to bring him venison and to make him savory meat that he might eat and bless him before the Lord, before his death. I want everybody to look right up here at me. For some reason or another, Isaac felt like that his time had expired and he was getting ready to go out and to meet God. But I read in the account in the Word of God that he lived through the experience of Jacob all the way down in the land of his fathers. If Usher's chronology is correct, and I assume that it is, Isaac lived 28 years after he blessed Jacob and after he blessed Esau in chapter number 27. But yet there was a man whose eyes was dim, and for some reason or another, he thought that death was just around the corner and he is a-fixing to go out and to meet God. I tell you, when I grow old, I want to have enough spiritual discernment about me, amen, to be able to determine in my heart when the death angel is about to knock on my door. This man was making his final preparation with God. He was doing his last act of faith with God, and yet he had 28 long years left to serve God. I'd say that's a man whose discernment is pretty dull in life. And we're going to find out why in a minute. There were some reasons why. Friend, I'll tell you, the longer we serve God, the keener we ought to get about some things. Amen. Paul said about those Hebrews in Hebrews chapter number 5 that at what time they ought to be teachers, they still needed somebody to teach them again, which were the first oracles of the principles of God. And they were of need of milk and not of strong meat. And and he said that meat belongeth to them that have their exercise, have their senses exercised, that they may be able to discern both good and evil. But Brother Isaac was a man that thought he was a dying and did not have the ability, as an old saint of God, at least 152 years old, to discern what was right and what was wrong in his life. That's sad. That is sad, brother. I'll tell you, when people sit under the preaching of the Word of God and come down to their deathbed experience and not have enough spirituality about them to discern what's right and what's wrong. That's right. I'll never forget when old Brother Ross Robertson died. I tell you, it wasn't much going on in that hospital room, but I believe old Ross went out in a blaze of glory. That's right, buddy. He had enough discernment to realize that death to a saint of God is no big thing. Laid there on that bed and looked over at Miss Hall and asked her, said, What are you doing here? Miss Hall said, You didn't need to come up here. And looked up, said, I'm just dying. That's right. And looked over at me and said, Brother Hall, I didn't know you was there. I said, Hey, boy, wasn't no need of you to come up here. He said, I'm just a dying. I'm here to tell you. That's right, friend. He had enough spirituality about him to realize that it's just good night down here and good morning over on the other side for a child of God. Amen. But Isaac was a man that was blinded, totally blinded to God's will when it come time to die. He had 28 years left and was making his final arrangements. If he'd have been a Catholic, he'd have had the father there to sprinkle him with a little holy water. Sprinkle him with a little holy water and stick a little piece of bread in his mouth. By the way, while I'm there, I got news to you. Holy water and bread ain't going to get you there. Son, you're going to be born again by the grace of God. Amen. You better make your preparations at Calvary. Be born again by the grace of God. Somebody said, Preacher, what does a man have to be saved from? From hell, that's why. Amen. I'm telling you, hell is awaiting every Christ rejecter. Son, you better be wise to make your preparation now and not wait till your deathbed like Isaac was. God may not be as gracious to you. That's what he was to Isaac. Now, everybody stay with me now. His discernment was dull about his death. His discernment was dull about the destiny of his family. About the destiny of his family. I cannot believe that Isaac called in Esau and pronounced a blessing upon Esau rather than upon Jacob. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, he was the eldest. Yeah, but I got news for you, friend. I've got some real news for you. God had already, now don't all leave me now, I'm going to try to give you something. Else. God had already, in chapter number 25, God had already told Rebecca that you had two nations in her, and that those two, that the elder one would serve the younger one. It's amazing to me, friend, why Isaac did not have enough discernment about him to realize when it come time to die that God, in his sovereign will, had already devised a plan where that Esau was to serve Jacob, and it was Jacob that should carry on the spiritual line, and it was Jacob that ought to have the blessings of God, and yet he was so dulled, so blinded to his own responsibilities and duties that his own wife knew more than what Isaac knew. I've always wondered about that. Why God would reveal to Rebekah his will for those two boys' lives, and there's not one thing said in the Word of God about how it was revealed to Isaac. I'm going to tell you why. I believe Rebekah had a little bit more on the ball than he did. I believe Rebekah had, that's right. Now, y'all kind of looking kind of strange. But I'm telling you, it is a sad day when a woman has got more spirituality about her than her husband's got. But even Rebekah, and by the way, it says in chapter number 25 that Jacob loved Esau, or Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. I'm telling you, friend, that tells the story on the man right there. No wonder his discernment before God was dull when it came time to die. Son, I'll tell you, we're living in a... I'm going to be honest with you, if it wasn't for most women, most Baptist churches, they would be in a terrible rut. That's right. I am in a lot of cases. I see more spirituality in a woman than I ever thought of seeing in some men. That's right. Amen. I never had a problem in the church. Every problem I've had in the church stemmed from a woman, but I've never had a problem out of a woman that had a spiritual man down at the house. Are y'all listening to what Brother Hall's telling you? I'm telling you, Isaac was that kind of a man. God had already told Rebekah when she was carrying those two twins. And by the way, Jacob and Esau were twins. And God had already told Rebekah that there were two nations in her, and that the younger, he that was born last, he would be superior to the eldest son. And yet Isaac had no discernment about that whatsoever. When he thought he was a dad, he didn't even remember it. I'm satisfied Rebekah told him about it. He didn't even remember. God help us, men. God help us. Boys, what we need, some men. Son, it'll be a spiritual leader down at their house. Amen. That's right. And take the bull by the horns. Get in that book right there, buddy, and learn that book. Read that Bible. Amen. Where you can get a little bit of discernment about you. I tell you, it's a sad day when there's women that would like to throw the television out of the house, but the man ain't got enough price about him to throw it out. Amen. It's a sad day. It's a sad day when women know to dress right, and men, bless God, have to be told by the preacher how they ought to dress and how they ought to conduct themselves. Y'all listen to me. That's right. His discernment was dull about his death. His discernment was dull, not only about his death, but about the destiny of his family. I'm going to tell you, I really believe that when it comes time for me to lay my old carcass down, that I'm going to know a little bit about where my family's headed for. Y'all looking kind of green around the gill. You mean to tell me you believe God would give a man wisdom to know where his family's going to wind up this journey at? I really do. I really do, men. Let me ask you, we might just put this thing down. Let me ask you, men, something. Have you got the rubber down on the road? Have you inquired in the mind? I'm going to tell you what the problem was with Isaac. He was a man that had never inquired into the mind of God. He had no earthly understanding of the mind and the will of God for his life or for the life of his family. And every man ought to have some idea of what God wants out of his family. I know it's kind of dead, but we're getting somewhere. I'm a trying. His discernment was dull about his death. Discernment was dull about the destiny of his family. His discernment was dull about his duties. Why did the Lord have to make the promise to Rebekah instead of Isaac? He had no earthly idea, no concept of his spiritual duties before God. Amen. She had to be the spiritual leader in the house. She probably conducted the prayer meetings down at the house. Amen. That's right. She probably read the Bible to the children. She probably prayed at the altar for the children. I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of cases where if it wasn't for a mama that had some spirituality about her, that the children of the day would wind up in hell, because most men I know are spiritually blind to what's going on in life today. God help us. God help us. No, just dull about his own duties. Why? I'm telling you, if that had been, I believe that had been me and Rebekah to come to me and said, guess what? Guess if Miss Hall to come to me and said, guess what, Gary? God's a given me a promise. We're going to have two boys. And the younger's going to serve the elder. And what do you think about that? I'd have probably still been running down 41 or out across Island Ford Road about the promise of God in my life concerning that little boy. Oh, I'll tell you, I'd have told it everywhere I go. I'd have been happy about it. Yes, sir. That's right. And I wouldn't have neglected my duties. That's right. To pray for that promised boy. To pray for that promised seed. That's right. I tell you, I asked that lady over there about that little boy. She said, about little old Isaac. About what about that, about Isaac? She said, amen. She said, I put him on the altar a long time ago. Amen. I wonder why Daddy, and I'm not being ugly, I wonder why Daddy didn't put the boy on the altar. Amen. I wonder why Grandpa didn't put the boy on the altar. That's right. Maybe it's because they're blind to spiritual things. They cannot see afar off. They have no understanding of the cross, no understanding of the blood, no understanding of the Bible, no understanding of the blessed return of the Son of God. Maybe it's because their mind and their heart is spiritually dead before Almighty God. That's right. Now I ain't even through the introduction yet, so don't y'all get excited. His discernment was dull. I want to say number two, not only was his discernment dull, but he had a defective vision. Notice what it says there in verse number 1 of chapter 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son, he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he proceeded to give that boy the instructions to go out and bring in savory meat that he might bless him before his death. Are y'all listening to me? When the blessing really belongs to Jacob and not Esau in the beginning. But the Bible said there that he was old and his eyes were dim. Now look right up here at me. Everybody look right up here. Everything in the Bible has a spiritual application to it. Now we're getting ready to do a little skinning now any minute. I'm just telling you. Every word in the Bible has got a spiritual application to it. Here is a man, the Bible said, was old in age and his eyes had grown dim that he could not see. But if he had a vision problem in his old age. Now, somebody said, well, Brother Hall, that's just a natural thing. I want to remind you, in total contrast to that, it said about Moses in Deuteronomy, I believe 34 and verse number 7, that when Moses came to die, that his eyes were not dim, that he could not see, and neither was his natural face, natural body abated, his natural power, natural strength abated. There was a man that when it come time for him to die, he was still a seeing as good as he had always seen, and was just as strong as he had ever been before God. But I'm telling you what we're seeing today, we're seeing a bunch of saints. That's right. Amen. Y'all just look up here at me. We're seeing a bunch of people that's claimed to be saved and love God. They live a long time for God, but in their old age, their faith begins to waver before Almighty God. Oh, I'll tell you, buddy, old Moses' eyes were not dim. He was still, that's right, he is still just as spiritual as he was the day he come up out of the land of Egypt. He was still just as strong as he was the day the waters of the Red Sea parted. He was still just as powerful as he was the day Ben and Hur held up his arm when they went out to fight the Amalekites. Are y'all listening to me? Old age hadn't got a stinking thing to do with our faith. Brother, our faith ought to be stronger when we're in our years, close to our death, than it's ever been. We ought to be in constant growth before God, and our strength, our faith ought to be stronger than it ever was. Right. I wonder what happens to old folks. Huh? I wonder what happens to old people. I'm going to tell you what happens. They just like this fella right here. His vision was dim. His eyes, he couldn't see. Now, don't nobody leave me, because I'm getting ready to tell you why. And I like it. I wouldn't have thought it about Isaac. When I saw this about Isaac, it flabbergasted me. I thought, how can it be? Here's a man that the Bible said that by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Right there in the Hero Hall of Faith is a man that thought he was on his deathbed, and while he thought he was a dying, he still had enough faith about him, enough spirituality about him to raise up on the bed of affliction and to bless both of his boys concerning things to come. He'll have the power to look out into the future and see things, but yet his vision was dim. Now, somebody said, why? I'm glad you asked. If you'll read in chapter number 27, you'll read there where he called for Isaac, called for Esau. When the blessing really belonged to Jacob. But he called for Esau and asked Esau to go out and make him savory meat that ever he loved. In fact, he told Esau, said, you go out into the field and find that meat. Does anybody here want to guess what the field is a type of in the Word of God? Do you know what Isaac is saying? Isaac is saying, hey, son! Go out into the world and get me some of that meat that my soul really loves. Now I'm going to tell you what the problem was in his life. He had loved that meat all of his life. For the Bible said in chapter 25, verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. We about to nail it. No wonder his discernment was dull. No wonder his vision was defective. Here is a man that still in his old age had a worldly appetite in his heart for the things of the world rather than for the blessings of God. Now, I'll tell you, I know that is, Brother Dye. That floored me. But it has to be true. Jacob was the spiritual seed. Jacob was the man of God's blessing. Jacob was in line for the blessings of God. Jacob was in line for the Abrahamic covenant. Why on heaven's day was Isaac so blind to the perfect will of God and the plan of God for his life? I'll tell you why. He was a worldling. Don't choke up now, boy. Why, he liked that venison. He liked the field. In fact, everybody just look right there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But in fact, when little old Jacob came in and had on that phony hair and stuff, you know what he said? He said, you smell just like the field.
You know what the problem was? He had a man in Esau that would share with him his worldly pleasures and help him with his worldly appetites. But Jacob wasn't that way. No wonder he loved old Esau. Just a little bit of that world. Still, all love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. No wonder his vision was defective. No wonder his discernment was dull. Amen. You can't be a spiritually minded man and fall in love with the world and live out in the stinking world at the same time. I'm telling you, that Bible's still real. Separate yourself. Separate, come out from amongst them, saith the Lord. I'm telling you, you will never have the power and the blessings of God on your life as long as you're hobnobbing and running with the world. You might as well forget that mess. You ain't going to have the blessings of God. You ain't going to grow in grace. You ain't going to grow in grace. That's right, hobnobbing with the world. Y'all listen to Brother Hall. I don't even like to go in supermarkets that sell beer. Son, that's right. Somebody said, are you too holy to go in? I ain't been in the Walmart up on top of the hill down here, boys, since she's been built. And I don't intend to. The only time I ever went in this bank, this place up here at Kroger, was to make a back payment for Benny. Because they sell liquor in there. I ain't going around liquor. I don't go in stores, supermarkets, or gas stations where they sell liquor. And that's right. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you're just a holier than thou. Call me whatever you want to call me. But I'm going to tell you what. And I'm not a bragging, but God has given me a little discernment and a bright vision in my soul for the things of God. I'm going to heaven with a hammer down. Hallelujah to God. I've done read the last chapter of the book. Heaven's my home. I've seen the white. Amen. I've seen the glories of the glory world. Amen. By the all seeing eye faith. And I'm going home to be with God. You ain't going to get there. Now, I'm going to tell you something too. That was the best kept secret in his life. Now the Holy Ghost is preaching now. That ain't even in my points. Best kept secret in his life. That he just still. Oh, somebody said, well, Brother Hall couldn't somebody see through that mess? Yeah, his wife did. When his wife heard by the hearing of the ear what Isaac's intent was with Esau, the first thing she done said, hey, get that other boy of mine in here. He's the one that's in line for this blessing because God already told me he was. She said, bring him in here and I'll give him instructions how to get the blessing of God. But I'm going to tell you something. It's the best kept secret Isaac had was his desire for the world. Is everybody listening to me now? God help us tonight. God, that's right. God help us tonight. Amen. Look here. He got out of the world, but the world never did get out of him. Amen. That's what our problem is today. Right. We got folks out of the world, ain't never got the world out of them. Right. Amen. They still looking over the shoulder, wanting to go back. Right. That's right. That's right. Say what? I'm just telling you, that's exactly where we're living today. It ain't no wonder people's blind that pull the stupid stunts that they pull today. That's right. I mean, that's right. Just so stupid, little penny ante, stupid things that they pull today and think that God winks at it and God can't see it. There's shenanigans in the world. It ain't no wonder, my friend, we're in the mess in the churches we're in. Folks tuck that little bit of the world back of it. And look here. Look here. Who had ever thought about it? Who had ever thought that it would have been an act of worldliness from a man wanting to eat? I wish God break this thing open and just let me get down where the rubber's on the road. Are you listening? Are you listening? His little worldly sin that he had was just a little old pet sin that most folks would just overlook and think it's just a common thing that takes place every day in somebody's life. But yet God knew all along that it was still that little old sinful lust in the heart of Isaac. Amen. He was in such bad shape. Are y'all hearing me? He was in such bad shape that he couldn't discern the difference between a goat and a lamb. That's right. Jacob brought in Jacob brought in the best of the flock and Mama dressed her up. And he couldn't tell the difference between the lamb and the goats that had been eaten from out. Are y'all wild meat? He couldn't tell the difference between tame and the wild. That's how bad a shape he was in, buddy. Are we down there? Y'all getting anything? Hey, look here. Do y'all understand how easy it is to live a life of faith and still not be right in your heart with God? Can you see it? I mean, is it opening up to you? How that you can live a life of faith, get in the Hero Hall of Faith, and still have no discernment, no wisdom, or no spirituality about you at all? Miss God altogether. Miss the will of God for your life altogether. I'm going to tell you, we're going to find out here in a minute. If it hadn't have been for a divine interruption from God, he'd have went right on his blinded way. And he would have spoiled. He'd have tried to spoil the whole blessing of God upon his family and life. Amen, son. We there now. Been trying to get there. Are y'all listening? I can't imagine how a man can get that far down the tube. That's right in his old age. You know he started out right. And then try to hide it. Be so insignificant that the only person probably saw it was Rebecca. I wouldn't be at all surprised if there ain't things in some of you men's life that nobody knows a thing about but your wife. Paul, you come to the church house and nobody knows. I mean, you'd be a spiritual giant at the church. I've seen preachers. Look here, I've seen preachers. The only time you see them, behind the pulpit, buddy, and you think they're spiritual giants. We had one fellow that preached right here. I'm telling you, our people thought he was a spiritual giant. Are y'all listening to me? But it wasn't but about 6 months after he left here, a man came up to me and said, hey, said, guess who I saw down the other day, down in so-and-so place? Said, I pulled up to a traffic light. And I said, I pulled up to a traffic light and looked over to my right and said, there he was, sitting there with a tank top on and a necklace around his neck, listening to country and western music. He's preached right there in that pulpit. Are y'all hearing me? That's an amen. That's Isaac, son. Hide it from everybody. But I'm telling you, be sure. Are you listening? Be sure your sin will find you. And his worldliness found the Isaac at God. Uncovered what he was before he died. Son, he'll uncover what we are. Very wise man, Brother Jacobs, made this statement. He said that God approved. Before man dies, God will prove whatever man is. And oh, how true that is. I wanted to say this morning in the Sunday school whenever you get around to it. Talking about that judgment seat and God's and the judgment and our works at the judgment seat. You know what? The Bible said some men's works go before them. And others follow them. Are y'all hearing me? Are we still in the house tonight? Here was a man that was here. There's a man that his discernment was so dull. There was a man that was so dull that he thought he was going to die and wasn't about to die for 28 more years. He didn't understand a thing about the destiny of his family, about God's plan, God's blessing on his family. He knew nothing about his own duties and responsibilities. It wasn't Rebecca that ought to took the bull by the horns. It was the man Isaac that should have. But I'm telling you, if it hadn't have been for the divine grace of God, pardon my expression, he'd have flopped his nub when it come time, buddy. But hadn't it been for God divinely intervening, he'd have flubbed up, buddy, all the way. He'd have put the blessing on the wrong boy. Now, here's my next to last thought. And by the way, I just throw this in. I've got it written down just now. Seems I'll throw it in. This fella loved that venison. And he loved that man of the world because they helped satisfy his worldly appetite. But you know, on the other hand, contrasting to him, on the other hand, was a man by the name of Moses that had so much spiritual discernment that he was raised up in Pharaoh's house and had all the luxuries of this world. He had everything that he ever wanted. He had wealth. He had education. He had power. He had prestige. But there come a day in Moses' life when he looked out at the nation of Israel and said, wait a minute, buddy. The blessings are out there. The curse is up here. I'm moving out and changing my company. Glory to God. What discernment? Nobody told him that. Nobody told Moses that. And the Bible said on down in the chapter of Hebrews we're studying it, that he would rather suffer. He would rather suffer the reproaches of Christ than to have all the treasures of Egypt. That's right, and all the pleasures of this world. That's what it amounted to. That he had rather suffer the reproaches of Christ than to have all the world had to offer. But I'm telling you, the point I want you to make is that Moses had the discernment, he had the vision and the spirituality to look out and see where the blessings of God really were. I want to ask you tonight, can you really see where the blessings of God are on you?
Amen.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. It was by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come.
Amen.
You get a hold of that? Things to come.
Amen.
We ain't got to the blessing yet.
Amen.
Things to come. What about your... Can you see your... I'm telling you, I get so sick and tired. I'm going to thank God. You've got a lot of money. Thank God for this. Are y'all hearing me? Now, I don't want to. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'd rather die, bless God, sitting in a pile of ashes with nothing than to have my family serving God. And I would inherit all the wealth of the world and have my family hobnobbing and running with every devil in the country. Are you hearing me? I'd rather die with nothing and see my family sitting right here on these church pews where they're sitting tonight. Son, that I would die with new homes, mansions, automobiles, money in my pocket, and have to wake up in the morning wondering where my kids went to bed last night and who they slept with,
amen,
where they're getting up this morning, what they done last night. I'm telling you, I wonder when was the last time that some of you just stood up in the church and said, when I asked for a testimony and said, Brother Hall, I want to thank God that my baby lay down in my bedroom and went to sleep last night. I want to thank God that my teenage boy, my teenage girl is sitting on the church pew. That's a blessing. Most folks are so blind they don't even see the blessings of God. Oh, we're blinded. We need some spiritual understanding in our souls today. God, help us. We thank God that we got good health. And I'm glad my health's holding up. But I'm going to tell you what, folks. Good health ain't the only blessing. Money's not the only blessing. I'm going to tell you where the blessings are down there in that little old house where you live.
Amen. Amen.
I like to hear some of these boys and little girls get up in here and testify and say, I want to thank God, Brother Hall, that I got up today, didn't have to worry about Mom and Daddy being drunk and beating me half to death. Throwing sticks at me and cussing me. Oh, that's the blessings. Are you all hearing me? May God help us. May God help us to open our blinded eyes to see the real blessings of life. There was a man that couldn't even deserve the will of God for his life, his wife, his boys, and himself. God help us. God help us. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, this one's probably the best one of all of them. His discernment was dull, had a defective vision. But thirdly, I'm going to say, he was deceived by natural senses. Are y'all here? Look right up here now. This is good. I'm telling you. Here was a man that said, "Hey," called in his son Esau and said, "Hey, go out and make me savory meat, whichever I love, and bring it to me that I may bless you before I die." Rebekah called Jacob and said, "Son, here's what I want you to do." He said, "You go out here and get me the best of the flock and bring it, and I'm going to dress your father savory meat, the best meat, just like your daddy loves it." And said, "I want you to take the skin of these kids or the goats," and said, "put it on your hands and said, I want you to go in and get the blessing. He said, hey, said, my daddy will discern me because I'm a smooth man and Esau's a hairy man. She said, don't worry. Said, we'll cover your hands up with one of the skins of the flock. And said, on the smooth place on your neck, said, we'll put a little hair off a billy goat around your neck and let you go on in. Said, daddy, he'll smell you. He'll touch you. He'll feel you. He'll feel you. And said, you'll just go right. Said, he'll go right on and give you the blessing instead of your brother. Everybody listen to me. I'm telling you, he was deceived by his own natural senses. Look here. When old Jacob come in and said, my father, he said, I've brought in savory meat. Said, whichever thou lovest. And old Isaac picked up that little old ear and he said, who art thou, my son? My son. He said, I'm Esau, thy oldest son. He said, now get this now. I want to show you something. You hear me well. He said, you've got the voice of Jacob. But it said, you feel and you smell like Esau. And he went right ahead. Is everybody listening to me? Rather than to put faith in what he heard, he put faith in his feelings. Now, I'm not reading between the lines. I am not reading between the lines. I'm trying to find it. No, he didn't read between the lines. It said, verse 22, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And I'm trying to find there where, oh yeah. Said in verse number 21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou art my very son Esau or not. He heard the voice, but he said, just let me feel. And he said, yep. He said, you got the voice of Jacob, but the feelings is you feel just like Esau. And said, I tell you, said, I'm going to go ahead and bless you. Are y'all listening to me? I'm telling you, you better get off your feelings. That's right, your feelings, oh buddy. I'm telling you, we have a book and a Holy Ghost that we use for spiritual discernment and understanding. You better get off your feelings. It's not based on feelings. That is a natural sense, a humanly sense that will lead you astray and away from God if you ain't careful. I've heard people say, well, I feel like that's God's will for my life. Well, hoop-toop-de-doo for you, baby. Well, I had a feeling, like Isaac, like Elliot said, what were you doing, standing under an air vent? I had goosebumps. Well, what were you doing, standing over an air conditioner vent when air blew up you and caused chill bumps to run up? Probably been a whole lot of young girls got chill bumps from when a boy kissed her. Had a good feeling, but it didn't make it right. And that man depended upon what he smelt and what he felt rather than depending upon the voice that he heard. I'm going to tell you, you cannot mistake the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. I and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. But my sheep hear my voice. Have you heard the voice, or are you running on feelings? Maybe that's why you're roller coaster. When you get a good feeling, you get up. When you ain't got a feeling, you're down. That's the world. If it feels good, do it. That's right. That's what. And look here. Everybody look here. Everybody look here. He based his decision on what he had smelt and felt all of his life. Right. Church, that's good. You can get a hold of what I'm preaching tonight. I'm telling you, it'll help you. He based on what he had smelt and felt all of his life. He said, I can't be wrong. That's the same smell. That's the same feel that I've been feeling all my life. But I'm going to tell you, just as wrong could be. His discernment was dull, had a defective vision. He was deceived by his senses. But oh, thank God, he was divinely interrupted. Yes, he was divinely interrupted.
Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Hall? Look at verse number 30. I want you to read right down through these verses with me. It said, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, and that my soul may bless, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am Esau, thy firstborn. And notice the next thing. Verse 33 said, and Isaac trembled exceedingly. Everybody look right up here at me. You want to make a guess why he trembled? Oh, somebody said, well, he was in a rage over Jacob's deception. He realized that Jacob had deceived him and he got furiously mad. No.
Right.
Somebody said he was a trembling because the blessing was gone. He was afraid that Esau would take his life. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you why. He realized, friend, for the first time in his life, he realized that he had been out of harmony with God and out of the will of God for his life. And when he realized that he had made such a stupid, blundering mistake and had come close to thwarting the very plan of God, when he realized that God had to divinely intervene and overrule him to carry out God's plan, he began to tremble and said, oh my God, what? I'm sure he said, what have I done? What in the world have I done? Buddy, I'm glad that God will divinely intervene. Oh no, everybody look up. He didn't sin presumptuously. I've heard people say that make professions of faith and later on down the road get saved and they'll say, I really believed I was saved. I can say, amen, they probably did. Isaac didn't sin presumptuously. He was blinded, friend. Are y'all hearing me? The world and the venison and the field had him blinded to the will of God. And he was going blindly down the road, out of harmony with God, out of touch with God. And was far, far from the will of God for his life. When he realized that he had been out of step with God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's an awesome thing to come to yourself. To be smitten of the Holy Ghost and come to yourself and realize that you have been playing the part of a fool.
Right. Right.
Playing the part of an absent. That's what shook him up. He said, good Lord. And I would imagine, and I'm just reading between the lines, but I'm imagining when it was all done, he called Rebecca in there and said, Rebecca, let's me and you get down on the floor on our knees and have a Thanksgiving praise meeting here and just give God a little bit of thanks. That while I was so blind and so ignorant to His will for my life, that God showed mercy on me. And rather than destroy me, that His mercy overruled my ignorance. And He delivered me from the sin of refusing, or not refusing, but the sin of not realizing God's will for my life. Oh, yes. Y'all listening? Amen. That's right. Now, look here. Look what he said, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? He said, I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Look here, listen here what Isaac said. He said, yea, and he shall be blessed. Are y'all hearing me? When he woke up, when his eyes were opened, when God opened his blinded eyes and let him see his ignorance and his spiritual ignorance, he said, I'm sorry, I'm paraphrasing this. He said, I'm sorry, son, but I've already given the blessing to Jacob and he shall be blessed because it's God's will. It's God's will. And everybody listen now. And he blessed him concerning things to come. I just now got to the message. That's what our text says, by faith. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what is that blessing? Now we get the greatest impact from that blessing out of verse number 37. I mean, Esau is questioned Isaac, he's cried. Look here. He sought a place of repentance with tears, but found none. Esau couldn't find... No, too late, Esau. In fact, Esau, it was too late when you sold your birthright and gave it away. Oh, yes, it's too late. Look here, and I can say this now. I was trying to preach all around it a while ago, but it is a sad day, friend. Look here, I would not suggest that any mommy do what Rebecca done. Oh, no, because she definitely used deception to get God's will done in Isaac's life. And I would not suggest anybody doing that, but it is a sad day when that mama... I had to deceive that man to carry out the will of God for that family. Are you hearing me? God help us when a woman has got to deceive her very husband to get the will of God done in their family. But that's exactly what Rebecca did. That's exactly what Rebecca did. And old Isaac begins to cry and moan and groan. And in verse 37, Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him Lord." Thy Lord and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? If you will read over in the blessing itself, verse number 28, therefore God give thee the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. There's the gist of the blessing. Somebody said, that don't sound like very much. Oh, no. But that dew of heaven, friend, and that fatness of the earth. You know what that is mean? That Isaac provided Jacob with a spiritual relationship to Christ. That was concerning. Are you listening now? Concerning things by faith. It was done. Somebody said, but where was Jacob's faith in all that? He had to have faith to put on that hair and walk into that room before his daddy. That's right. He had to have faith. And it was through that blessing, things to come, that Jacob should be established in his spiritual relationship to Almighty God. Hallelujah to God. What a blessing. That's right. It was by faith that old Isaac blessed him. That's right. Put that veil and said, let the dew of heaven be on you, son. Hallelujah to God. Let heaven, let the dew of heaven, let the sweet dew of the Holy Ghost of God abide upon you. What? It was a spiritual blessing that gave him a relationship and a right relationship with the Son of God. Amen. Now, I'm about out of steam. I'll just tell you. So, this thing... He made him, look here, he said up there, he said, and I have made him thy Lord. He made him superior to his brother. Now somebody said, what's the significance to that? Everybody look right up here now. Why? What is the significance to Jacob being superior to Esau? Now don't nobody get mad at me, but the Bible says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's God's business. I didn't write that. God did. Okay? But I will say that God set aside the older that He might bless the younger. And you find that all down through the Bible, God doing that, setting aside the older that He might bless the younger. But here, He made him superior. He made the spiritual. Is everybody listening now? What the things to come, the spiritual, to be superior to the natural. Oh, my God, if you can get a hold of that. Oh, Lord. Somebody said, and I don't know if I can explain it all right, but a spiritual man, a saved man, is far superior, friend, to any natural man that's ever living. Oh, yes, more wisdom. So we've got the idea today for a man to be a man, he's got to have a big hairy chest and stand 6'8" and weigh 400 pounds and be that broad at the shoulders and about like that at the hip. Oh, no, that's not so. Oh, no. Got to be superior with your fist. Oh, no, that ain't it at all. I'm telling you, a spiritual man's always superior to a natural man. Read it through the Bible. It's taught throughout the entire Word of God. That spiritual man's got God's favor, God's blessing. He's honored by God. And I'll tell you, the natural man will never get over on the spiritual man. He'll always come out on top. I want to say that again. He'll always come out on top. He'll always win the battle. He'll always come out on top. Some way, if his heart's right with God, he'll always win the battle. When Jacob went down and spent those 28 years and brought Rachel back and Leah back from his mother's household and brought them back. The Bible said that he knew he was going to have to face old Esau. And he said he feared, he just trembled, and he divided up his band into companies. And then that night he went across that little old brook Kidron and spent the night all alone with God. And I'm going to tell you why he did. Because he feared Esau, his brother. And he feared that reunion. Are y'all listening to me now? He said, hey, church, we ought to be a shouting around. Son, this world's not going to overcome us. That lost crowd, they're not going to overcome us. Oh, God ain't going to let that happen. Never in 10 billion years would God let that happen. But I'm going to tell you, when daybreak come and old Jacob had wrestled with the angel of God all night long and his sinew of his right leg had been withered and he went away from that place a prince because he had power with God and he had power with men. Are you hearing me? Son, I'm telling you, God gives a spiritual man power with mankind. Hallelujah. They cannot withstand the words of wisdom that flows from the mouth and the lips of a spiritual man. I tell you, with the words of your mouth, my friend, you can whoop just about anybody. Hey, some you might have to smother to death in your love. Tell them how much you love them. Others you might have to bluff a little bit and tell them you can whoop them. Look here, when the two met, old Jacob started doing this number. Now, Lord Esau said, what meaneth all these herds? He said, I've brought them to find favor in the eyes of my Lord Esau. Esau said, Jacob, I don't need all this stuff. Do you know what, during those years, God done healed the heart of old Esau? But I'm going to tell you, Jacob still had to get the victory. And I'm going to tell you where he got the victory, over wrestling with the angel of God all night long. See, that wrestling with the angel didn't change Esau a bit, but it did change Jacob. God, can you get a hold of it? It did change it. It didn't change Esau a bit, but it did change Jacob. Jacob was scared to death of Esau, but I'll tell you, after he had wrestled with God all night long, he said unto God, if I can take that, boys, I believe I'm ready to take just about anything. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Amen. Ain't that good? That's right. And he made the spiritual man superior to the natural man. I'm going to say secondly that he made the spiritual man superior to the flesh. Isaac, Esau is also a type of the flesh. And when I say natural man, I'm talking about lost people. When I talk about the flesh, I'm talking about that thing that you're carrying around, your carcass. He said, you'll be Lord over Esau. Are y'all getting a hold of it? Some of you's trying to get it. This renewed man that we got living on the inside, folks. Oh, it's Lord to the flesh. Are you hearing me? Oh, we can. Yes, sir. That spiritual man can subdue and overcome this old flesh that we're carrying around. Yes, it can. Son, we can have victory over this body of clay that we're toting around. That's right. And it's by faith. Are you hearing me? It's by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. That's right. That you can overcome that old flesh. Oh, I tell you, the spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. And these two are contrary one to the other. And the works of the flesh are manifest: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, hatred, emulations, wrath, sedition, strife, jealousies, fornications, all of that stinking mess. But on the other hand, I'm going to tell you what overcomes it. Love, joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith and meekness and temperance can overcome all of it. I'm going to tell you what. Somebody said, well, I just had to commit adultery. Not if you love your wife like you should. Well, Brother Hall, I just had to bless that guy out. Bless God. No, no, no. Not if you're as long-suffering as you ought to be. Well, you don't understand what's happening to my flesh. And I just can't... I just can't get, you know, I'm low. Love. Joy. Peace. Folks, you've got to get the Spirit triumphant over the flesh. To love, you've got to triumph over the flesh to have joy. You've got to have, that's right, you triumph over the flesh to have peace. You're not going to have peace in this world if you're living all the time in this body, in this old flesh of ours. Well, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, yeah. Made Him superior over it. Made Him superior over His brother. And then He said, I'm going to feed you with corn and wine. He provided him with sustaining grace all the days of his life. Do you know what, in essence, what he was saying to Jacob? He said, Jacob, you'll make it! And you'll make it because grace will see to it that you make it! Brethren, there's times when I don't feel like I'm going to get through the battle. But oh, thank God for sustaining grace. That lifts us up on wings of eagles. Thank God for a patch of corn. Thank God for a little maize. And I ain't talking about Mae Jackson, bless your heart. Somebody, look here. You know that manna was a wilderness food, but you know what they got to eat when they got over in the new land? Corn. God just give me this. This ain't in my notes a bit more than a billy goat. But look here. When he blessed him with corn and wine, you know what? He said, not only sustaining grace, but he said, I'm going to sustain you in Canaan. That's the food of Canaan. That's that Spirit-filled life. He can sustain you in a Spirit-filled life. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. I'll tell you, that's right. He'll sustain you with a little corn. Lord, don't give me a little jigger of wine like these wine-bibbing Baptists around here. Give me a vat full of it. Amen. I don't want just a tad bit for my stomach's sake. I want about 5 gallons for my soul's sake. That's right. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You know, he turned right around and pronounced part of the same blessing on Esau. But it was reversed around. And just a little, I don't have time to go into it. But he blessed Esau in the things of this world. And Esau became the natural posterity of Abraham. It was through his loins that the natural seed of Israel came about. But it was through Jacob that the spiritual seed of God came through. That's what that blessing contained, folks. In things to come. That spiritual seed yet to come. We out there. In other words, he said, it's through you, son, I'm going to bring Jesus into the world. By faith. Folks, I want to have enough grace in my heart when I get to be an old man that my vision and my discernment is not so blinded that I'll be deceived by feelings and start living by feelings rather than faith. God help us. God help us. Let's stand together. I've said what God wanted me to say.